Good afternoon. My name is Neha Narula, and I'm presenting research I did on how to execute web application queries on a partition database. And this is joint work with my advisor, Robert Morris, and we are from MIT. So first, let's talk about the problems that arise when a developer is scaling their web application. Front-end servers are stateless, so it's easy to add more to handle more users. And usually, it's the database that becomes the bottleneck in the application stack. One way of handling this is to partition data across multiple servers to get more throughput and to spread out reads and writes. So here's what a partition database might look like for a web application, which hosts comments by different users. So each server on the right is running a relational database like MySQL, and on the left is a comments table. Each row in this table corresponds to a comment in the application. So to partition the table, we divide it so that each row is assigned to some server. This is called horizontal partitioning. We decide where a row goes by looking at the value in its post ID column, and this is the partition key. So all the comments for one post will be on one server. So we have many clients issuing different kinds of queries to all of the database servers. And now that the data lives in different places, we have to figure out how to query the multiple servers. In the rest of this talk, I'll be making some assumptions about the web applications that we work with. First, that the working set fits in memory and there are indexes on all important columns. I'm assuming the application doesn't do table scans and has a relatively high read rate. This implies that the database CPU is really the bottleneck in this application. These assumptions do match some real-world applications that we investigated. These applications serve real-time user requests, so they don't have time to go to disk or to scan tables to generate a web page. So here's an example query for that comments table we were talking about before. Let's say that we wanted to fetch all of the comments on a specific blog post, post 100. How would we execute this on a partition database? Well, since we partition the comments table by post, it's relatively straightforward. We can address this query to the server with all of the comments on post 100. Yeah, but what about if we wanted to add a different feature, like a user profile page, which shows a user's comments from any post on one place? Here we want to retrieve all of Sam's comments that are on any post. This query can't be addressed to one server because Sam's comments are spread out amongst them. Some servers might not have any of Sam's comments, but we don't know that ahead of time, so we have to query them anyway. The question becomes, how much does it cost to issue these extra queries? Well, it turns out that the cost is pretty high. We modeled two parts to the cost of a query on the database server: static query overhead costs and data retrieval costs. Query overhead is independent of the amount of data being retrieved, and data retrieval is proportional to the amount of data being retrieved. So query overhead costs are very high comparatively. On our servers, when retrieving one row, it's measured to be about 97% of the cost of the entire query. And I'll describe what this cost is and how we got these numbers later. So what does this mean? Well, it means that adding a new server doesn't help scaling as much as we thought it would, because queries that have to go to all servers now have to go to this server too, even if it doesn't have any relevant data. And as we saw, the cost of sending an unnecessary query is extremely high. So how do we deal with this problem? How can we figure out how to execute queries and keep this cost that doesn't scale from dominating our throughput? Well, to solve this problem, we created a system called Dixie. Dixie is a query planner which executes SQL queries over a partitioned database. It optimizes read queries to minimize query overhead and data retrieval costs. And it uses a novel cost formula, which takes advantage of data partitioned in different ways. And that's the real idea here, keeping copies of data partitioned in different ways. To stop issuing these unnecessary queries, we create a copy of the comments table partitioned on post ID and user, so we can direct each read query to a single partition. Writes now have to go to both of the table copies. So to show how this works, before we partitioned the comments table on post ID. Now we'll take that same table, but sort it on a different column, user, and split that into ranges and put those ranges on different servers with the ranges from the other sorting. So each row is represented twice across this set of servers. Now each query can go to one partition by using the different table copies. So to retrieve the comments on post 100, we go to the second partition, and to get all the comments by Sam, we go to the third partition and use the other table copy. Now there are still some problems to deal with. For simple queries, everything's fine, but what about more complicated ones? Is it always obvious which table copy to use? The problem gets even trickier when we're considering multi-table queries and joins. So the question is, what is the appropriate cost model to use when choosing how to execute these queries? And in particular, how do you balance per query overhead and data retrieval costs? So the contributions of this work are as follows. The idea of using multiple partitioning specifically to minimize per query overhead, a cost model and a query optimizer, which minimizes this overhead and data retrieval costs, and a query executor, which executes queries designed for a single database on a cluster of databases. So now I'm going to show you my system. First, I will describe Dixie's architecture, and then we can walk through a query planning example. I'll describe how Dixie estimates costs, and I'll evaluate Dixie and its cost model. First, let's start with Dixie's architecture. Dixie runs as a library on the web server. The web application passes a SQL query to Dixie as though it were querying a single database. The application code can be completely naive to the partitioning and copies of the tables. Dixie parses the query and generates many different plans which correspond to different ways of executing the query. It uses a cost model to choose one plan, which is sent to the executor. It sends requests to database servers in multiple steps, retrieving rows. Dixie materializes each step entirely, accumulates the data, and sends rows back to the application as though it came from one logical relational database. I'm going to focus on these two parts of the system, the query planner and the query optimizer. So intuitively, how do we plan a query? Well, we can generate a bunch of different ways to execute that query, estimate the costs of each plan, and then pick the plan with the lowest cost to execute. Let's go back to the example we used before with the comments table. First, I'll describe the way an application developer might choose to partition these tables. So, as before, we have two copies of the comments table partitioned on post ID and on user. But now we're going to add another table, the post table, the one that actually contains the post that the comments are on. And this one, let's say we have partitioned on ID and author. Note that the web application developer needs to choose a partitioning and table copies based on the queries that he knows he'll be issuing. So what we end up with is three servers, each containing multiple table ranges sorted in different ways. Let's show how we would execute a query using this setup. So let's start with this query. We want to fetch all of Alice's comments on Max's posts. So here are Alice's comment rows from the comments table, and here are Max's post rows from the post table. Logically, we want to match the rows where the comment post ID equals the ID of the post, which we can see here are for post 3 and post 22. So here's a SQL query to execute what I just described. It's a two-table join on the comments and post table. The join keys are comments.postID and post.id, the parts of the table that we're matching. One way of executing this query is to send it as is to every server and to let the server do the join for us. We can call this plan 1. One thing that's important to note is that we need to make sure we're using the right table copies when we execute this plan. In particular, we can only use table copies partitioned on the join keys. If we only had the other table copies, the join would not execute correctly because the comments on a post wouldn't be on the same server as that post. So to visually represent plan 1, here we're sending the query as is to each server using the appropriate table copies and letting the server execute the join. So what's the cost of this plan? Well, we're sending three queries to three servers, and we're retrieving a couple of rows. And let's talk about another way to execute that query. We could execute this query in multiple rounds or steps. We call this a two-step join. First, we could get all of Max's posts to retrieve a set of post IDs, and then we can retrieve Alice's comments corresponding to those post IDs. So to demonstrate visually, first, we create a query to just get Max's post IDs using the copy of the post table partitioned on author. And since Max starts with M, we can just send this query to the second partition. We retrieve the IDs of Max's posts, and unfortunately, we have to get all of the IDs of Max's posts because we don't know yet which ones Alice has commented on. And then using those results, we construct another query to retrieve Alice's comments on those posts. We send this query to server 1, where Alice's comments are, and we use the copy of the table partitioned on user. The server does the work of filtering to make sure we only get Alice's comments, and we retrieve the two rows of Alice's comments that we originally wanted. So the query is sent to two, we send queries to two servers, but we have to get all of Max's post IDs in the intermediate step. One interesting thing to note about this plan is that as we add servers to the system, this query will still only go to two servers. So based on these examples, what are the important factors to consider when deciding how to plan a query? Well, based on what we just went through, it seems like this. You need to choose a join ordering of tables in the steps. We got Max's IDs first and then Alice's comments, but we could have done that the other way around. You need to choose which table copies to use for which parts of the queries, and you need to decide what work should be done on the database server versus Indixy on the client. We estimate the cost of each step of a plan using our cost formula, and we sum the cost of each step to get a cost for the entire plan. Remember, we are trying to measure server CPU cost here, since that's the bottleneck. Our goal is to maximize multi-client throughput, not necessarily minimize latency. So here's the cost of each step. Intuitively, it's the sum of query overhead and row retrieval. Cost sub S is the overhead of issuing a query to one server. N sub S is the number of servers that we contact in that step. Cost sub R is the cost to retrieve one row. And N sub R is the number of rows retrieved. The way that we estimate number of rows retrieved is by using selectivity statistics and clauses in the query to estimate the selectivity of the entire query. Selectivity roughly means how many rows we expect to get back per unique value. There's a lot of work in the database literature on how to estimate selectivity. So here's a system we use to measure cost of R and cost of S. We're using 10 Amazon EC2 instances running MySQL with the InnoDB storage engine, and we verified that for reads, we're reading out of memory and server CPU is the bottleneck. So what we found is that the amount of work the server must do for a query that retrieves one row is almost exactly the same as the work for a query that doesn't retrieve any rows. We confirm this by issuing many concurrent queries that retrieve either zero or one rows by an index column and saturating a MySQL server. We also tested this on different kinds of databases and machines, and the results are very similar. So on our system, we measured cost of S to be about 0.36 CPU milliseconds, and the cost of R to be 0.011 milliseconds of server CPU time. So now the obvious question is, well, what is this cost? Well, there's many different parts related to receiving and parsing the query. The server has to receive the message, instantiate a thread, parse the query, take out read locks, sometimes do a lookup in an index B-tree if it doesn't know if it has the data or not, and then respond to the client. And the server has to do most of this work, even if it doesn't have any of the rows that the query might need. In order to measure how well Dixie does with this relatively simple cost formula, we'll go back to our original query and vary the selectivity statistics and data to change the costs of the plans. We'll use Dixie's estimator to see what it would choose, and most importantly, when it would choose one plan over the other. We'll measure actual throughput of these plans to compare. So here we fixed 10 servers, 10 partitions, and we're varying the number of rows returned in step one of plan two. We're varying the number of posts written by Max, and thus the number of post IDs that we have to retrieve. And here we plot Dixie's cost estimates. We're keeping the overall number of rows returned for the entire query constant. So based on Dixie's cost formula, this is what it would predict the performance of the two plans to be. The yellow dashed line is the two-step join, fetching Max's post IDs and then Alice's comments. This varies because we're increasing the number of IDs returned in step one of the plan, so we retrieve more unnecessary IDs, the throughput goes down. The blue dashed line is the pushdown join, sending the query as is to each server. This is constant because it always talks to 10 servers and it always retrieves a few rows. And here's the actual performance, measuring throughput on 10 database servers as described before. So what's really important is where the pushdown join starts to beat the two-step plan, and Dixie predicts it'll be at 160 rows, and the actual point is 145. So do table copies help real workloads? We use a Wikipedia database and trace to try to answer this question. And what about, obviously, the added cost to writes when you have multiple table copies? Well, we measure the cost to multiple table copies. So first, quickly, Dixie's implementation. It's written in Java, and it uses JSQL parser to parse queries, and it handles a select project join subset of SQL. And we're using HSQLDB as an in-memory database to materialize the results between steps. So in addition to our setup before of 10 Amazon EC2 servers, we also set up a few really beefy client servers to run many different concurrent clients to bang on the databases. We verified that the working set of the data we use fits in memory. So the main experiment we run uses Wikipedia's data. Wikipedia provides a database dump and HTTP traffic trace from January of 2008. The data set is really huge, so we constructed a data subset of 100,000 articles and all of the related data. We also get the applicable database queries, which query a subset of the 36 gigabytes of total data, which fits in memory. We use HTTP traces of actual traffic to generate the database queries. We set the right percentage in our experiments to 5%, though we talked to the database, the Wikipedia database administrator, and on that day, he said that the right rate was 1.7%, so it varies. Our goal here is to compare performance on a partition system with and without Dixie and table copies. So here are two of the really important tables in this workload. Each article on Wikipedia is a row in the page table, and each revision is a row in the revision table. So pages have IDs and titles, and revisions have IDs and refer to other page IDs. We partition the tables as such. We verified that this is the best partitioning, the best single partitioning for this workload. So let's see what the throughput is on 10 servers. Well, with a single partitioning of each table over 10 database servers, we get about 7,000 application queries per second. This is composed of many different kinds of queries. Some of them single row lookups, a lot of them joins. A lot of the queries have to go to all 10 servers. Three queries in particular are interesting, and I'm going to describe how they're executed on this partitioning. First, here's a query that looks up a page by title. Any Wikipedia article page that you load would issue this query. To retrieve a page by title, we have to send this query to all of the servers, since the page table is partitioned by ID. The cost is talking to 10 servers plus retrieving one row. Another query gets all of the revisions on a page, looking it up by page title. So here's a web page where you can see all of the revisions on a Wikipedia page. We execute a join to get the revisions on the page. We have to send this query to all servers as a pushdown join. So the cost of the query is talking to 10 servers plus retrieving the revision rows. The last query I'll describe does an insert of a new page. This is relatively simple. We can just send the insert to the one server since we know the page ID of the page that we're inserting. And the cost is talking to one server and inserting one row. So now let's see what happens when we add a copy of the page table partitioned by title. And in the data setup that I described, this was on the order of 20 megabytes, so it wasn't a lot of data to copy. So this actually dramatically increases throughput. We can get over three times the throughput on the same number of servers. The reason for this can be seen in the three queries that I just described. So before, to retrieve a page by title, we had to send the query to all servers. The cost was talking to 10 servers and getting one row. But with the new partitioning, we can send the query to one server using a copy of the page table partitioned on title. To get the revisions on the page before, we had to send this query to all servers as a pushdown join. With the additional partitioning, we now have a new option of a plan, which is executing this query as a two-step join and only talking to two out of the 10 servers. Before, we sent the insert to one server, but now we have to send it to two servers in order to do the insert to the two table copies. So here's a graph showing how throughput scales as we add more servers, using one copy per table or using Dixie and table copies. The yellow bars are most queries going to all servers, while the blue bars are most queries going to one server. On 10 servers, Dixie plus a copy provides a 3.2x improvement in throughput over not having table copies. This shows that as we scale to having even more partitions, the benefit of table copies grows. When there are only one or two servers, table copies don't help that much. So now let's talk about the cost of writes. When specifically does the cost of writes outweigh the benefits to reads? To answer this question, we use a workload which is a mix of two queries. One is reading from the page table while the other is inserting into the page table, and we vary the percentage of inserts on the page table. So using this workload, we're able to roughly calculate the cost of a read and the cost of a write on our system in terms of server CPU when there are 10 servers. So having two table copies means all read queries can go to only one partition, and each read query costs about 0.05 milliseconds, whereas one copy means it has to go to all 10 partitions and thus cost 10 times that. With two copies, writes cost twice as much as they did before. So what does this mean? Well, it means that as we increase the percentage of inserts, table copies perform worse. This graph shows how performance compares between having one table copy versus two, The yellow line is one copy and the blue line is two copies, as we vary the percentage of writes. Now, what's interesting is the intersection point. If your workload has more than 85% writes, it's not worth it to keep another copy to help reads. Note that we did not measure the cost of distributed transactions, but your system can use whatever it was using before for multi-partition queries. If you care about consistency across the partitions, then each write needs to become a distributed transaction. So the related work in replication and partitioning can be broken into two parts. Column store is doing big analytical queries to minimize latency and maximize parallelism, and partition databases doing many small queries where they worry about throughput, and most queries can go to just one server with a single partitioning. Both have ways of partitioning and replicating the data to improve performance, though they don't discuss how to plan queries over the partitioned data. And some work, like Schism, discusses how to choose a partitioning. Older work in query planning considers how to execute distributed queries, but again, they're focused more on analytical workloads instead of web application workloads. And as such, they don't talk about the importance of query overhead relative to the rest of the cost for query planning, because on those workloads, the queries are reading a lot of data, and hence, it's not as much of a problem. So in conclusion, queries that have to be sent to all servers can become extremely expensive. And in many web workloads, a single partitioning is not sufficient to send all queries to just one server. Table copies can help minimize query overhead. And Dixie uses these copies to minimize costs between per query overhead and data retrieval. And we see a 3.2x improvement on Wikipedia by adding a copy of a table partition in a different way. So thank you very much for listening. And there's information if you want to contact me later for more questions.
Time for questions, yes.
I'm short. Hi, Armando from Berkeley.
Hi.
I love this stuff. I do have a question, though, about how large in practice a single database has to get before you're forced into starting to do sharding for performance reasons. I haven't operated databases larger than a few gigabytes because I'm not a real practitioner. But the word on the street is you can sort of get up to 25 or 30 gigs with MySQL before you really start feeling the pain. So when you do get up to that scale, do these problems become more significant that you have to sort of materialize entire subviews from different servers before you can assemble things? You know, because that's usually you don't see that pain, but you're explicitly trying to pull all this stuff into the app and then basically pulling join logic into the app. Mm-hmm. So have you tried experiments at a scale where this bites you?
Oh, yeah. So, no, I haven't done dramatically larger sets because as anyone who knows who's loaded data into MySQL, it takes like a week to load this much data into MySQL. But anyway, so those are very good questions. So first of all, I think people partition their data for two different reasons. One is because of the size, like they need more memory and so they have to move to multiple machines. But another is because of the CPU costs. Like they just have too many queries going to that server and so they need more CPUs and they have to split their data because of that.
Right, but for the second, there's other ways to absorb the second one besides replicating your database, right?
Well,
there's memcached and there's all these
sure,
other solutions that will.
So I'm talking about partitioning the database, but that's true. But for writes, you just have to. If your write load is too much, you have to switch to partitioning. But you're absolutely right. So one interesting thing that we found when we looked at Wikipedia was that even though it's a huge data set, we only needed to repartition a very small table to get most of the benefit. So it seems as though tables, which are mostly metadata type of things, are where you really see this type of benefit.
How do you compare, is your work related to, for instance, Twitter's Gizzard? They have a sort of an auto charting, and it helps you. I don't know how much it automates it, but it certainly helps, you know, partition it for you and then also even replicate some of those tables.
Yeah, so I did this work originally before Gizzard came out, but I looked at it a little bit. And yeah, it seems to be very similarly related. I mean, I think definitely helping developers execute queries over partition databases is really important. And all the tools that we can get are very helpful. I think that this work kind of looks at the costs involved and how you lay out your data.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? No? Okay. So,